You take your Bibles, please. We're going to Exodus chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus. Exodus chapter 6. We have someone named Genesis. We don't have anybody named Exodus around here. We're going to be looking in the next week or two about Jesus Christ the Redeemer. And I'm honestly not able to do it in 1 week, so we're going to do something a little different. This is part one. Today we're going to give a little bit of a foundation of what it is to be redeemed, and we're going to look at an example of redemption that God has given us in the Old Testament. Then we're eventually going to get to look at Jesus Christ, who is our Redeemer, and the great privileges of redemption that we have. But Exodus is the first use of this word, and it's regarding Israel. And if you go to Exodus 6 and look at verse 5, please. And I have also heard the groanings of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. Okay, there's a key thing. The Egyptians had kept the children of Israel in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. This is God speaking, of course. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage. I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burden of the Egyptians. God said that he was going to release them from the bondage that they were in. He was going to be their God, and he said that he would redeem them to himself. You go, please, to the Gospel of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke, please. Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 1. Here we have the record of the father of John the Baptist. His name was Zacharias. And he prophesies here in Luke chapter 1 and in verse 68. Luke 1, verse 68. A lot of verses in this chapter, huh? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Right? Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. For he hath visited and redeemed his people. Here, many years later from what God had spoken in Exodus, he says, blessed be God, for he has visited and he has redeemed his people. People he's talking about here again are the people of Israel. The word redeem in the Bible, the word redeem, it's got a very deep meaning in the scriptures, and we'll get into that. But in English, the word redeem has two basic meanings. One is for somebody to exonerate themselves or to free themselves of a bad name or something bad that happened to them. We might say, you know, I made a mistake, and I say, well, now I need to redeem myself. So I buy everybody some ice cream, and then everybody's happy with me. Okay, that's one use of the word redeem. The other use of the word redeem is a word that means to regain possession of something, either to gain or to regain possession of something by the payment of a price. I think it's very simple here in English. I'm going to demonstrate to you right now what it is to redeem. I have this copy of Jesus Christ the Redeemer, a little booklet of some articles that Dr. Werwell wrote about Jesus Christ the Redeemer. And I am willing to give it away to somebody. They need this to get it. This is called a coupon. And this coupon here is for one free booklet. And if you present me this book, this coupon for one free booklet, you can get this free booklet of Jesus Christ the Redeemer. Okay? And in the fine print on the coupon, it says redeem at local fellowship. Who would like to have this book, Jesus Christ the Redeemer? Okay, Vicky was the first one that I saw. You have to come up here, Vicky. All right. Vicky is our lucky winner today. She's the winner because, Vicky, you have this special coupon. Now, you have to give me that coupon for you to redeem this book, okay? So give me the coupon. Thank you. And I give to you the book. All right. And now Vicky is the proud owner of this wonderful little book. Very good. Well done, Victoria. Her sister's here as a witness. She didn't steal it. So that is redeem, right? We use that word redeem. We redeem coupons. You have something that you give in payment for something that you want, something of value to you. And that's a very, very simple use of the word redeem. Well, let's go, please, to Hebrews. Hebrews, it's in the New Testament, almost near the end. Hebrews chapter 2. We're looking at redemption. Now we fast forward to our time frame. Hebrews chapter 2, and look at verse 14. It says, "For as much then, as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he," talking about Jesus Christ, "also himself took likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil." And it says in verse 15, "and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." In 1 John, it tells us that the whole world lies in wickedness. Here in these verses here of Hebrews, it says that Jesus Christ came to deliver from he who has the power of death. It says very clearly, that's the devil, has the power of death. But Jesus Christ, it says, he himself took part of the same, that he could destroy him that hath the power of death and those that were subject to bondage. Like 1 John says, the world lies in bondage. If you go, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. The world lies in wickedness. It needs redemption. Actually, let's go to Galatians first, okay? Just a little book back, chapter 4. We'd already talked about the redemption of Israel. Here's more redemption for Israel, and that is in Galatians 4 and verse 4. Galatians 4. Verse 4, "but when the fullness of time was come," that means at just the perfect right time, the fullness of time was come, "God sent forth his son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons," that we might become sons. So he said he would redeem those who were under the law, that they could become sons. Now go to Ephesians, please. So those that were under the law could be redeemed and become sons of God. Quite a redemption. That's better than a book. Ephesians 1, verse 7. "In whom," talking about this same Jesus Christ, "in whom we have redemption," it's being redeemed, "through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Here it's saying redeemed from sin. Ephesians is those not just from Israel, those that were also formerly Gentiles have redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's quite a redemption from the bondage of the world, from law, from sin, to be bought, to be redeemed, bought back from that to something that's much better. And if you go, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23. So God does this wonderful thing. He gives us an example. The Old Testament is loaded. It's loaded with examples of things that are fulfilled fully in the New Testament. Some things that don't get fulfilled until a later time period. But he's given us a tremendous example of redemption, and that's in the book of Ruth. In a minute, we're going to go to the book of Ruth, but I want to read to you this about the beginnings of Ruth. Ruth, this woman who the Bible says is a virtuous woman, only one called that. This Ruth came from the wrong side of the tracks. She was not in the best of standing with God, and we're going to read about that in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 23, look at verse 3. An Ammonite, those are people from Ammon, or a Moabite, those are people from Moab, shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Why? Well, verse 4. Because they met you not with the bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse you. So God tells them that the Moabites and the Ammonites, because they had tried to curse Israel, and they wouldn't receive them into their land, that they couldn't be numbered with Israel. They couldn't be a part of their congregation. Verse 5. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Verse 6. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever. Seek their prosperity means you can't do business with them. God is pretty adamant about this. Why is that? Well, the beginning of Moab and Ammon was not a godly way that they started. The daughters of Lot decided, because they didn't have husbands and their father was dying and he didn't have a wife to produce progeny, that they were going to have sex with their father and have children and carry on the name of Lot forever. Well, they did. And it turns out that their progeny was Moab and Ammon. That was the start of these people who the Bible called enemies of God. Really something, isn't it? And Ruth, this woman that we're going to read about, came from that lineage, right? Wrong side of the tracks, right? Go to the book of Ruth, please. Ruth chapter 1. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Ruth chapter 1. Somebody did an album called Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Now, it came to pass that in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. So they left Israel, their area in Bethlehem, because there was a famine. So they went where there was food. Verse 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Verse 3, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. She was left by herself without him and had two sons. Verse 4, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. These two sons of a wonderful family of believers end up in Moab, and these sons marry Moabites. We didn't read it, but I want to read you something from Numbers 21, verses 1 and 2. It says, and Israel abode in Shittim. That's a bad place. And the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. These are the Moabites, into whose land Elimelech brought his family because of the famine. So when it says that his sons married these Moabitish women, they were marrying these women that were of people who worshipped other gods, something God doesn't like very much. You can see where Ruth came from. And we see the tremendous love and the tremendous grace of God to redeem Ruth. See that. Verse 5, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So she heard that back there in Bethlehem, back there where she was from, that the famine was over. They now had bread. So she said, we're getting out of this town and we're going back home. Verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. It says in verse 8, and Naomi said unto her daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead, you know, their husbands, and with me. She says, go back, girls. Verse 9, the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, in verse 10, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi, in verse 11, said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? This refers to a custom, a law of the Israelites, that if someone was married, let's say, William, we're going to say that William is a father and he has a son, and his son marries somebody, and then he has another son also who's not married. Well, the first son that got married dies. It's required in the law that the other brother, the brother of the son who died, had to marry the wife of his dead brother. That was the law. And raise up seed, in other words, have children in honor of that person. That was the law. So she's saying to these girls, she's saying, look, you come with me. She says, what, are you going to wait like another 15 years or 16 years until I have another kid and then you're going to marry them? She says, your kids are crazy. You're young. Go back home. Go back to where you're from. Turn again, verse 12. Then she said in verse 13, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, no, my daughters. For it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And what that means is, again, another custom of the Old Testament. Those times, they blamed everything on God. Everything that was good was blamed on God. Everything that was bad was blamed on God. Everything was blamed on God. Just like today, we might say, if something went wrong, we said that it didn't go well for us or something, but they would blame it on God. They said God did this and God did that. It's just the way that they spoke. So she said that in verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Means that she left. And Ruth clave unto her. Ruth clave unto her. So one of the daughters, Orpah, went back to her people. And Ruth did not. Ruth stayed with her. Verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Go back with her. But look at verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Verse 17, thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught or anything but death part me and thee. Wow, what a woman. Here's this woman, you know, she was married to Naomi's son for about 10 years. She must have really been blessed by that. She must have really seen what that God of Mahlon, her husband, was like, because she decided not to go back to her own people. She decided not to return to her own gods, but to take Naomi as her family and to take Naomi's God as her God. Wow, what a woman. Look at verse 18. When she saw she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. You know, she quit talking about it. Like, this chick is not talking about this. She's going with me no matter what. So she quit. She quit talking to her about it. So they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? She was gone for at least 10 years. She didn't come back under the cover of the night. Here she came back to Bethlehem, and everybody recognized her. 10 years later, everybody recognized her, because Naomi was a name that was known. Her husband, Elimelech, was known in the town of Bethlehem. Here were wonderful believers, and she came back into town. Look at verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Beginning of barley harvest is springtime. It's around the time of the Passover, right? So this year it was April something. Right? So that's when she came back. Well, let's go down to chapter 2. It says, and Naomi had a kinsman. The word kinsman in the Bible is used, there's two different words for it in the Old Testament. This one just means an acquaintance or a relative, right? So she had a relative of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. And his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said, all right, go ahead, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, which was of the kindred of Elimelech, her father-in-law. So here Ruth came, and it was the right of somebody who was a widow or who didn't have means to go after the reapers in the fields and to pick up what they left. Now, it talks about corn here. The word corn in the Bible doesn't mean the corn on the cob like we have, right? They didn't have corn in Europe or in Asia for years later. That originally came from the Americas. But the word corn is used for grain. It could be grain of any kind. But what kind of grain do you think this was? Barley. It told us what grain it was, right? The grain was barley. And so here, God had set out that even people who were poor, people who were widows, people who didn't have right to food, had the right to get grain from people who did. And it says her hap was to come to this field. Her hap means, you know, she just ended up there. That's where she happened to be. You know, if you go to my field here in America, you know it's my field. You know, there's an address out there saying, you know, 2635 Corn Lane, you know, and you know that that's mine. Or I have a big sign saying, no trespassing, you know, don't touch my corn or barley. In those days, it wasn't that way. The people lived in the town of Bethlehem, a walled city, and all of the land around Bethlehem, this is important for redemption, all the land around Bethlehem were fields. And you didn't own a field, but the field was owned by the city. And every year they would draw lots for who got certain plots of land to plow. So the people in the city who had the right would go, and that was a whole process, we're not going to get into that today, but a cool process that they had to assign lots to different people. So some year you might get a good piece of ground, other years it might not be so good. So it was kind of even this way. And so she went out, she didn't know whose field it was, and it didn't matter. But it turns out that she ended up in the field of Boaz, all right, who happened to be a kinsman of their family. So that was her hap, okay? She ended up in this field. Look at verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. You know, that was the town. He came out to the field, right? And said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." Now, don't you wish that would happen to you tomorrow morning when you go to work? I guess, Leonard, that could happen to you. If Grant would get up to it and say, "God bless you," you know, at work. But anyway, you know, how cool this was. Here was, what a cool guy. He said, "God bless you, reapers," you know, his workmen. And they said, "The Lord bless you, Boaz." Really, very cool. We see they had a real love and respect for Boaz because of his great love and respect for God. Verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is this? Who's this girl here?" And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." So they told him about Ruth. Verse 7. And she said, "I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and hath continued even until the morning, until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither from thence, but abide here fast by my maidens." In other words, these other Israelite ladies that are gleaning in my field, you stay here with them. You don't have to go to any other fields. Verse 9. "Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have not I charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn." That was special. For her to go and to glean in his field, that wasn't so special, because that was a right. But for her to say to Ruth, "You can also drink of the drink of my workers," that was a very special privilege that he gave to her. Reapers were of a higher social status than the gleaners, the people that came to take what was left. And here he gave her this tremendous grace, a special privilege to drink also. So Ruth finds grace. Look at verse 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger?" Verse 11, and Boaz answered and said to her, "It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore." Wow. News traveled fast in that town. Everybody knew everybody what was going on. And here he'd already heard about this woman and how wonderful she was. Verse 12, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Do you see how great this guy is? He didn't just say, "Look, lady, I like the way you look, and I'd like you to stick around." He said to her, "Look, God has blessed you. You've done these wonderful things. You picked my God over your God. You picked my people over your people. God blessed you. And when you came to town, you are now resting under the wings of God. That God has taken care of you, daughter." Awesome that is. What a great guy this guy was. Verse 12, it talks about the Lord recompense and give a full reward. That word recompense and the word full there are this word that is the word for like giving full wages. Like God is paying you back for what you did. Isn't that awesome? He came to God and his people, and God gives her grace and peace. The word for wages, it's the word shalom in the Hebrew. It's from the word shalom for peace. So the basis of that word is peace. And that's what we see that she gets when she comes to this town and is with God's people. And we're going to go to verse 13. It says, and then she said, let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like one of thy handmaidens. What a woman. What an amazing woman. That she left her people. She could have married any of the cool dudes that lived in her town, but she didn't. She decided to pick this God as her God. And she picked hardship. A widow didn't have rights. They could come into the town and they could go into the field and glean. They couldn't go to social events. They were barred from many things. But here she decided that over the rights that she could have had as a woman who worshiped pagan gods. She picked God as her God. We'll go to Ephesians. We're going to close here in Ephesians today. That's all we're going to do in Ruth for today. She asked for a favor. She asked for acceptance, and she got it. She knew she wasn't worthy. She was from the other side of the tracks. She was from people that the Israelites hated, and honestly, for a just cause, that they didn't like these people. God doesn't like idolatry. God doesn't like any other gods before him, right? Look at the mercy, the grace that is extended to this woman, because she changed to go to God instead of the gods of the Moabites. We saw that when we read about redemption, that God had redeemed Israel out of Egypt. We saw that God promised redemption to the Israelites when Jesus Christ came and John the Baptist proclaimed. And then we also saw that there's redemption from the law and there's redemption from sin. Redemption is a tremendous principle in God's word and a fantastic right and privilege that we have as believers. In Ephesians 1, just want to read a couple of verses here to close. Look at verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ruth got a blessing. She got a tremendous blessing. We're going to see when we go back to Ruth next week what tremendous blessings she received. Well, God says we have all spiritual blessings. Verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. We have also been redeemed, and our redemption is eternal. Our redemption is great. God gives us this tremendous example in the Old Testament just to give us an idea about redemption. And then we're going to look at all the great privileges we have as people who are redeemed. Right? So that's it for today.